I want you to take out your Bibles, please, and you can turn in the back of your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start a series, and we'll have a new banner up, I believe, next week. And it'll have a question mark on it. And I want you to come back and see what it says, okay? That has been ordered or will be ordered on Monday, and we're moving forward. And it's all going to be based on Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. I'm going to read those words right now, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And follow along. If you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 1191. Page 1191, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. This is what the author to Hebrews says as he speaks for God to all of us. He said, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Father, I pray that you would lead us now during this time of worship and around your word. I pray that it would come alive for me and for each of us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You know, when God's people walk closely with him, they walk closely with him, I can guarantee this for you and for me. They will have an amazing impact on other people. Mark just prayed that we would be a church that would impact our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will when we walk closely with the Lord. Closely. These songs this morning were full of words talking about how God reaches out to us and invites us in to a relationship with him. And how we then are urged to walk and walk closely with him. And when we do, we have an impact on the world that doesn't know Jesus, and we have an impact on one another. It is absolutely, absolutely astounding. Do you believe that? Do you? It would be okay. It wouldn't be too charismatic if you nodded your head. But I know it's warm in here, and that would. I was real nervous when we started clapping, thinking everybody's going to be all sweaty after they're done with that. But do you believe that if you walk closely with the Lord, you'll have an amazing impact on other people? Other believers, that we will have that. It's really a mysterious but wonderful thing. On August 23rd, while we were in Minnesota, the wonderful world of technology, I was able to get a text message, or excuse me, an email message from one of the guys that used to be in our the Isaiah house. His name is Andrew Hickey. And Andrew was there, and Andrew spent a lot of time on the streets here in Whittier, and he ended up in the Isaiah house in recovery, and it was he'd come to our Wednesday night studies, and he'd come to church on Sunday mornings, and I'd be I really was drawn to this man. He's a bright guy with a good heart. But along the way, he did some stuff at the house and got himself booted out. And it was kind of a back and forth thing. It was for a while. He was in the cold weather shelter that we hosted here at Calvary, and then he was back on the streets, and he was it was just kind of a back and forth. And he was back in the house for a little while. Actually, another one of the come to him houses. He'd come to our Wednesday night dinner. By the way, that starts this Wednesday. What a great thing to sit around the table with each other. It's one of those things. When you walk with God and you come to dinner, can have an amazing impact on each other at the table. It's just truly amazing. I lost track of Andrew for a while. He was gone and we weren't seeing him. And he, one day, one Sunday night, later in the evening, he called me. And he said, "John, you think you can come and pick me up tomorrow morning and take me to down to Costa Mesa to a recovery house down there? I'm in a bad way." So I picked him up in East L.A. Monday morning and took him out to Costa Mesa to a place called Charlie Street. And I remember pulling up to the house. I'd never been there before, but I'm pulling off and I said, "Do you want me to just wait here?" And he said, "Yeah, maybe you should. I hope they've got a spot for me." He went in and after about 15 minutes, he came out and said, they're not sure if they've got a place for me. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with the rules that they have there and all. And he said, "I'm not sure, but I think they're going to find a place for me, so you can go." So I left him. And sure enough, they did. And for the next few weeks, maybe a couple months, he did real well. And then one day, Marilyn and I were driving here to church and to the school, and we were riding down Pickering, and as we came down Pickering, I went, "Whoa, that's it. I just saw Andrew. He didn't look too good." And later that day, he showed up in my office, and he was a wreck. You know, they say that alcoholism is a disease. And I remember in the early days of my ministry, I would probably say, and some of my pastor friends would say, "Oh, come on. That word disease is just an excuse. It's just an excuse for calling it sin." Well, let me tell you, my friend was dying. Because the reason why they call it a disease is because, like any other disease, left untreated, it always results in death. And Andrew was heading that way fast. He wandered around for a little while longer and got him in touch with back in touch with a guy that was his sponsor down there, a guy who's part of our ministry here. And got him back in the place. And Andrew has popped back in over the last about 10 months, 8 to 10 months. And I got this message on the 23rd. "Good morning, John. So sorry I've not been keeping in touch as much as I would like to. I've been very busy. My new life is wonderful. I'm currently working in and around San Diego for a painting contractor who keeps me very busy. I just passed 10 months clean and sober. Hard to believe. Seems like yesterday I was in your office asking for help. I've been saving a little money, and David, his sponsor, and I have been discussing getting a car and possibly driving soon. I thank God every day for this new life. I hope and I pray all is well with you, my friend. And if there's ever anything I can do for you or the church, please feel free to ask. Please tell everyone I said hi." Hi. It's cool. "And hope to hear from you soon." I wrote back and then he again wrote back with another brief message. But, you know, here's the deal. When people walk with God, they have an impact on other people. And this church has had an absolutely amazing impact on Andrew. One person after another. It has been people who, for whatever reason, whether they came for a growth group or whether they came for youth group or whether they came to be part of our Isaiah house study, or some of you who just decided to show up on a Wednesday night and sit at a table, sitting in there at a table, if you were walking with God, you had an amazing impact on Andrew and a whole bunch of other guys who have, by the way, all summer been starving without our Wednesday night meal. So now they're just like, they're so excited about this Wednesday. But it's just, it's an amazing thing when God's people realize that they can have an impact on each other. But remember, I said this, it's also serious business. It's really serious. When I started out with these words, and these words are in your notes, and I do encourage you to take out your notes, just to, as God prompts you to think something, as you're looking at your Bible or on your iPad or in your on your phone at the scriptures that you're reading or the scripture that's on the rack in front of you, as you're looking at this, you can take some notes. But listen, folks, here's the words I started out with were when God's people walk with Him. When they walk with Him carefully and speak to God about other people. Or when they walk with God and speak to other people about a relationship with God that matters. Then things happen. But it is serious business to represent God before people. And it's serious business to represent people to God. It's really serious. Can I tell you a story? I'll tell you a story about, you can actually, if you want to turn in your Bibles, it would be the third book of the Bible, chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10. Go ahead and turn there. Third book of the Bible. Leviticus chapter 10. I'm going to talk about a couple of priests. Priests who represented God to the people and represented the people to God. These two priests were the sons of the chief priest, or the guy who got it all started by God's direction. And that was Aaron. Aaron's sons, chapter 10, Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. And they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to His command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Sounds like Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? Something like that. But this is no movie. This is the real thing. And it wasn't magic, but it was for real, a holy God. And people who had a holy responsibility, who didn't care much about that holy responsibility, they took it very lightly. As a matter of fact, they did things their own way, in their own strength. If you want to read more about that unauthorized fire, you can read that in Exodus chapter 30. Verse 9, and then the very last four verses of Exodus chapter 30 is very, 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 very interesting. This is what God says. This is what He said. And I'm stopping and thinking, here's Aaron. He gave his kids a pretty good pedigree, right? Aaron's he's the major priest. And his sons do something that gets them whacked by God on the spot. I'm thinking, I have my sons and my son-in-law up here on the platform today. How would I feel if, because of what my sons were doing, if their hearts were in rebellion against God, what would I think if my sons were suddenly, boom, just like that, struck dead? Because God was saying, when you represent me before my people at Calvary Baptist Church, this is serious, serious business. This is what they did. That if you were to read Exodus chapter 30, especially verses 34 to 38, at the end there. It says that you're not to offer unauthorized fire on the altar of incense. That altar of incense was an altar that stood just before you went into the Holy of Holies. It was in the inner sanctuary, but just before you would walk into the Holy of Holies, that was the place upon which you were to offer incense to a holy God. Now this year I've been reading through the Old Testament initially, reading the chronological Bible on my read through the scripture this year. Over and over again, I'm struck by these priests standing before God. They've got this holy responsibility, and God says, do it this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. And I'm thinking, whoa, all these details. I'm not a detailed person. Amen? Oh, thanks. But if you've worked with me, you know, I'm not a terribly detailed person, and it's very easy to read this stuff and go, yada, 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 yada. Well, you know, it's just, you know, it's X's and O's. It's nuts and bolts. Who cares? God said, do it this way. You are representing me to the people and the people to me. You're standing before my altar. Now pay attention. It should cause a person's knees to knock. God says, this is how you are to prepare the incense. Bring that incense and don't bring any other incense. I bet you these two sons of Aaron were thinking, you know, getting tired of the smell of that incense. Yeah. It's like God has no taste in fragrances. And they made up their own incense. That's what they did. They made up their own incense and they said, surprise, God. He said, that's not the way it's going to work around here. I'm God. You represent me. And if you're going to be that sloppy representing me before people, and representing people to me, you're done. Call it harsh, but you understand we're dealing with a most holy God. Now, fast forward into the New Testament. In the book of Hebrews, it's like the New Testament church is going through this, the church is going through this horrific change. Jesus comes along, and along the way, there are people that are whispering behind his back, and they're saying, he's out to destroy the law. And Jesus says to them in Matthew chapter 5, I'm not out to destroy the law. I'm going to fulfill every bit of the law. You know what he meant by that? He said, I'm going to tell you what the law means, and I'm going to explain to you what the law means. You think you've got this as a bunch of spiritual lawyers, you think you've figured this out, all the nuts and bolts of the law. But I'm going to tell you how wrong you have it. So I'm going to explain the law like you've never heard it before. But I'm also going to fulfill the law by being the perfect sacrifice for you. Sometimes you've probably wondered, am I good enough to make it before God? Am I good enough? I mean, I'm no missionary. I'm no saint. I'm no priest. I didn't go to school to know all this stuff, and I don't know much about this book. I don't know about standing before God and representing people to him and him to people. The book of Hebrews, a number of these people they had heard about Jesus, they'd given their lives to Jesus, they thought that Jesus was really something, but now, as time is going on, and Jesus hasn't returned like he promised said he was going to return, now they're starting to look back, and they're looking back at their spiritual heritage, at the temple, with all the priests and the Levites, the scribes and the Pharisees, and they're looking back there and they're thinking, you know, that looked pretty good. And they're talking, one person is talking to another person, and they're saying, maybe we should go back to the synagogue. Maybe we should go back to the temple. Maybe we should not put as much confidence as we had before in the law. I mean, in the gospel of Christ, like Mark prayed about today. Maybe we should, you know. and brought the book of Hebrews, the author says over and over again, listen, folks, Jesus is better than the temple. He's better than angels. He's better than priests. He's better than the great priest, Melchizedek. He's better than all of the sacrifices. He does something that we could never, ever, ever do for ourselves, and that no priest or no system could ever do. And we've got to put our hope in Jesus. And that's why when you read, I'm just now jump into this, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. He's saying something that is so critically important. Toward the end of this long letter, he said, and let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not give up on meeting together as believers in Jesus. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but it's critically important. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day of Christ's returning, as you see that day approaching. This chapter is just so full of word pictures. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. The law, he says, this has got to be shocking to these people who are thinking about going back to their Old Testament religious forms. The law is only a shadow. You ever done any shadow boxing? You ever kind of chased your shadow? It's kind of fun in the morning, you know, when the sun's coming up and maybe you're off for your walk and catch up to your shadow and then you go the other direction. Where'd I go? Where'd it go? But he says the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. For this reason, the law, can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year make perfect those that draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? Don't you love commercials that just say, you know, I'm noticing, I don't see cars on television. And it's kind of almost in this economy where, you know, we seem to be hammered so much now anyway. And now you see these expensive cars that are being offered, you know, day after day, multiple times. And it's like, whoa, it's driving satisfaction. And, you know, can you see, and they'll say things like, can you see yourself behind this wheel? Can you feel the road? You know, I'd prefer the tires felt the road, but. But can you feel the road? And it's just, oh man, this is so great. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I've had enough cars in my lifetime to know and enough rust buckets that I've driven to know that eventually they all get to that point. If they satisfied so much, then this one car that I saved all my life to get would satisfy. But it doesn't satisfy. It just, I got to have a new one. I've got to have a new experience. I've got to have new gadgets. I've got to have new. If that, I love a root beer freeze. I don't know. Dairy Queen has them, and we used to get those in Minnesota. And anytime we're near a Dairy Queen, we just, oh, got to have a root beer freeze. Oh, it's so great. Did I say root or root? It's Minnesota anyway. A root beer freeze is just so, I mean, it's so perfect, and I love it. Maybe we should just get a small. No. Get a large. Get an extra large. But at the end of that thing, and when you hear that last little, oh, it's gone. And just like that, the satisfaction's gone. And think of what the author to Hebrews is saying. Listen, if the sacrifices, all those sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, the same sacrifices, if they would have done the job, you know, then they wouldn't, you know, we'd be okay now. We'd be perfect. But they didn't. They didn't. But see, all of those were a shadow. A shadow of what? What were those? It's a good question. You can write this down. They were a shadow of what? They were a shadow of the perfect sacrifice. A perfect one. All those years, they were a shadow of the perfect one. And the perfect sacrifice is Jesus. And the author of Hebrews is making his point. You don't need to go back to anything else. Don't go back to any of those forms. As much as they made you feel religious. I remember when a friend of mine said, I was raised in this name brand religion. And he said, it was all of a sudden they changed the way they did everything. And even though I didn't have a clue what was going on, every time I went to church, I felt religious. I really felt kind of tingly all over. I had no idea what was going on, but I felt tingly. But when they changed the form, the tingle went away. So the author here says, don't go back to that. There's so much in here talking about Jesus. But look at verse 12. But when this priest, Jesus, offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made a footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's those of us who put our trust in Christ and are moving down this path, growing in him, being sanctified, being made holy, being set aside by him for his purpose. For the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their heart. They're going to have a heart change. And I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless acts, I promise this, I will remember no more. And I breathe a huge sigh of relief. I am not going to be looking at a list, folks. Not because I've been really good, because I haven't been really good. He knows what I'm really like in the quietness of my heart and how often I stray. How often I take matters into my own hands and wrestle with myself. He says, their sins and their lawless acts, I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer, oh, this is cool, any sacrifice for sins. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Is that you? Now, the reason why I started way back where I did, I want you to know this. The reason why I started way back where I did, talking about the Old Testament priests and how frightening it would be when God says, these are the rules. Do you understand? These are the rules. Don't come in with any of your own incense. Only come in with what I prescribe. But if you're going to represent people before me and me to people, it's got to be on my terms. Do you understand? Now, these words. Brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, not by our works, not by our intentions, not by our pedigree, not by our past, not by yesterday. Boy, I did a pretty good job there. I can't stand before God and represent him because I preached a dynamite message. No. I come by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way opened to us through that curtain, the Holy of Holies, into the Holy of Holies, into God's presence, that is by his body, by the body of Jesus, sacrificed on the cross for me. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, that's Jesus, then let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So if we're going to represent God before each other, if we're going to, as verse 24 says, think about how we may spur one another on to love and good works. If we're going to do that, if we're going to think about doing that, about having an impact on each other's lives, if we're going to think about having an impact on another guy like Andrew Hickey, if we think we're going to have an impact when we sit down to a dinner on Wednesday night or in a restaurant, when we think we're going to have an impact on somebody's life when we write an email message or send a text message or send a card or make a phone call, if we think we can have an impact on our children when they're naughty, when they think they're going to have an impact on our kids when they're totally involved in the stuff that they're doing in school, if we think that we can have an impact on somebody over dinner in our home, if we want to have an impact, whether we're young or much older, whether we're male or female, whether we're whether we're married or single or widowed, divorced, we think we want to, if God wants us to have an impact, and he does, then we've got to spend a lot of time with him. And the only way that we can make ourselves available to him, the only way, and the only way we can represent people to him, the only way, is on his terms. And it's by what he's done for us through Jesus. Do we understand that? I want you to look at your questions in the back of your notes. Would you just for a moment? Just a little something to do. And by the way, over the next few days, if you are of a mind to, I know some of you will say I'm too old to memorize. That's okay. Just give that up. Ask God for a miracle and then start to memorize. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Do that. I'm working on it too, okay? I'm working on it. So I won't ask you to go anyplace. I won't try to go myself. So memorize this text. And then look at these questions. Second question. What do you do to make a difference in the lives of other people? I want you to based on what we've been talking about this morning, what do you do to prepare? Where do you start in order to make a difference in the lives of other people? Third question. How does your personal relationship with God affect your relationship with your family and friends? And in all of these, I say, how is your relationship with God as you're having that right now? How is that right now affecting your relationship with your family and friends? To what extent would you say that you are confident to enter the presence of the Most High God? To what extent are you in representing me? If you're going to talk to me about how I can get better, to what extent would you say you're confident to enter the presence of the Most High God? What's behind your response to that question? And the last question right after that paragraph, how have you grown in your understanding of how the work of Jesus to help you draw near to God? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is never to be taken lightly and that you promise to make a difference in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would pay very close attention to it. I thank you, Lord, for challenging me even as I prepared over many, many weeks to share this text with our congregation. And I pray, Lord, you would continue to challenge me. I pray, Lord, that we would stir one another on to love and good works. The people around us who are younger than us and older than us, those that are in our families, our friends, people in our neighborhoods, Lord, may we spur one another on to love and good works as we pay attention to you, as we enter your presence by the blood of Jesus, not on the basis of our own merit, but representing you to people and people to you and the merits of Jesus. And I pray this in his name. Amen.